of Advent. Advent is about waiting. Waiting for the arrival of the Lord Jesus. When we talk about waiting, I think our culture, society today have much to learn about waiting. I think we are becoming more and more impatient in our life. You know, when everything we want, we expect it to be fast. We talk about our internet speed, the download speed. If it's more than a few seconds, we get so frustrated and it says, we are going to change internet provider. And when we want something, we want it now, fast, instant gratification. But then you know that in life, almost everything that is precious is worth waiting for. I don't know whether you agree with that. When it's precious, you wait for it. Let's say, for example, good marriage. Good marriage. You need to take time. You wait. You need time to nurture the relationship. For the birth of a child, you cannot rush. You need a full 9 months for the child to get all mature and come into the world. And when it's come early, then it is premature, it's too early, it's not healthy. For those of us who are students, when you are in university, you know, what is the value of a university program if you can finish it in 2 weeks? You know, not too precious, right? But you work, you wait, you persevere for 3 years, 4 years. Some of us go higher degree, take longer. And then it's precious, it's valuable. So in the text that we just read today, Galatians 4, when they talk about in the fullness of time, God sent his son in the fullness of time. So God waited. Do you know how long God waited before he sent his son? Anyone care to think? Guess? Yes, Darren.
A long time.
A long time, of course. How many years? Give an estimate. Guesstimate. How many years do you think God waited before he sent his son? Whoa, 4,000. You must have read my script. 4,000 and more. A long, long time. Why is it that long? Let us start from the very, very beginning. But if we go to the very beginning, at the creation, you know, God created heaven and earth, and God have prepared everything, you know. Everything God prepared is good. And then God created the first human beings, the first couple, in accordance to his own image. And he says, God said, I entrusted you to take care of my beautiful creation. But there's only one thing. You are free to eat anything in this garden, but there is one rule. That rule is to show that you are the creature and I am the creator. And that is, you have to obey my command. And one command I ask of you is not to eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You know, so it is just one regulation to show that you are under my authority. And this is the test whether we, the creatures, was willing to obey the Creator. So it's not a matter of whether it's an apple, it's a matter of eating some fruit. No. It is just a matter of whether we obey God. But most of you know the story, how the result is this first couple, Adam and Eve, turned out not obeying God. They yielded to the temptation of Satan and ate the forbidden fruit. And as a result, our world, God's world, is totally messed up. Sin entered into the world, death entered into the world, and people's relationship with one another, people's relationship with God, is all messed up, broken. And from then on, God started his restoration plan. As stated in Genesis, the couple of verses that we read, when God pronounced judgment to Satan, God said something very mysterious. God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." What kind of judgment is that? You know, why is God saying that? Well, this is what is called, the theologians call, progressive revelation. It's a big term. And what it really means is, when God reveals some truth to us, God's plan will become clearer as we go further down, further in the Bible and further into history. So we know more and more God's plan, God's idea, as we progress down the Bible and progresses in time of history. So for now, the time being, God is saying, your judgment is the seed, the offspring of the woman will be in constant conflict, fighting with the seed, the offspring of Satan. The offspring of Satan will hurt the heel of the woman's seed, but the woman's seed will crush the head of Satan's seed. So which one is more serious? Which one is more fatal? We'll see, okay? So this is God's plan. And then we fast forward about 2,000 years or more. In Genesis, it's 9 chapters later. God chose a man, Abraham. Now, Abraham lived in 2000 BC, which is about 4,000 years from us. Abraham is, today is very famous. And God chose this man, Abram. Later on, he's called Abraham. And God asked him to leave his own country and go to a land that God assigned. And God said, I would promise to give you this land. I will promise you that I will make your name great. And today, Abraham, his name is great. His name great, his great nation, that means he have lots of people under his name. Today, there are three major religions in this world, all called Abraham as the forefather. And they are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So three major religions call Abraham as their forefather. Then God said, I promise that you, if you obey me, you trust me, I promise you land, I promise you a great nation, meaning many people. And what also God promises, all nations on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So all nations on earth include how many nations? Not just Israel, not just the Jews, not just the Arabs, right? It also includes every country in this world. Include Chinese, include Canadians, include Pakistani, Indians, everybody. South Asians country. So how would God bless all nations? And when God says all nations on earth will be blessed through you, what does that blessing mean? Progressive revelation. So now we know that God's plan of restoration involves a blessing to all nations through Abraham's offspring. What does that mean? Well, we'll know more as we head deep in the Bible. Fast forward another 1,000 years. So now we are at 1000 BC, okay? God raised up a person, a great king. His name is David. David is the most famous king in the history of Israel. And one day, King David had in mind, he says, I'm living so comfortably in this palace, but then God's, the symbol of God's is at that time is the Ark of the Covenant. And he says, the Ark of the Covenant, God was living inside a tent while I live in a beautiful palace. So I'm going to build a house for God, a temple. And when David had this thought, God sent him through a prophet and come to talk to David. And he says, David, you don't build me a house. I build you a house. I will build a household of kingdom under you. You will have a son that will enthrone, sit on your throne forever and ever. God promised that. So why is this promise? Well, who is the son of David that will enthrone, sit on the throne forever and ever? So now we see the plan involve the woman's offspring striking a fatal blow to Satan's offspring. And we see a plan that through Abraham's faith, his offspring will bless all nations. And now we see that in God's plan, he will raise up King David's seed, offspring, a son of David, will sit, become king forever and ever. Rule the world forever. And what is this plan? Let us fast forward another 1,000 years. If we fast forward another 1,000 years, what time would that be? It would be the time in the junction between BC and AD, right? Okay. Do you know what BC stands for? Yes, Darren. Burger King, I did not say BK. BC. BC. What does BC stand for? And what does AD stand for? Okay, Peter. BC. Before Christ. And AD? 50%, 50% mark. AD is actually a word that is Latin. I don't know whether I pronounce it right, it's Anno Domini, okay? Anno means year. Dominate is the Lord. So Anno Domini is in the year of our Lord. So that is the history, the time of our world, in the majority of the world, is divided in accordance to the time of Jesus' birth. Before Jesus' birth, it is counting backwards. And in the year of the Lord, after Jesus' birth, AD. So, in the fullness of time, in this intersection, in the junction of the world, of his world history, fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. What's the purpose? To redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So at the fullness of time, after 4,000 years, God sent his son to come to this world. And on an evening that God's son was born, God sent an angel to announce to a group of shepherds who is taking sheep's flocks out in the wilderness. The angel announced to the shepherd, he says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, Messiah, the Lord." So when God's son came, God sent his son to come on earth, God's angel revealed that this son is the Savior of the world. So God's plan involved a son, his son, who will be the Savior of the world. What's the meaning of Savior? God saves us. But what does God save us from? Peter. Yes. See, God saves us from sin. That is right from the very beginning. That is why we need a Savior in the first place. We have broken God's commandment. We have sinned. And everyone since Adam and Eve is born under sin, under the bondage, under the curse of sin. And in God's salvation plan, God's restoration plan, he is going to sending his son to save us from sin. That is why in another story in the Bible, God told Joseph to name this son Jesus, Yeshua. That means God saves. God saves his people from sins. So this is the plan. And God reveals more and more at the time of gospel, God's plan to restore this world is to send his son as the Savior. And in Galatians, he says, this son will also redeem those under the law. Redeem means to purchase us. When you redeem something, that means you use something to exchange, to purchase us. We have been under the curse of law, and God's son, by dying on the cross, pay the penalty of sin, he purchased us away, free of the curse of the law, so that we can receive the full rights of sons and daughters. So this is God's plan. And Paul says that this plan is 4,000 years, over 4,000 years in the making. So this is, isn't it a wonderful plan? Yet in a sense that as we begin Advent, in a sense that we are still waiting. We are still waiting for the second coming of our Lord. Jesus died on the cross, he resurrected on the third day, and he ascended into heavens. But he sent his Spirit to be with us as Emmanuel. When Jesus ascended, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised that he will come back. When we read to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the last word of Jesus said is, who knows the last word of the of Jesus? Peter, where are you? What is the last word of Jesus? His last word is, yes, I am coming soon. Jesus promised to come soon. And then the writer of Revelation responded, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. So here we are, folks. This is God's plan, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And from this is God's story from beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And within this grand story of God's story, there is our story. We live within this story of God. So today, I want to encourage you to reflect. How are you going to live under this God's story of the plan that God restores, the plan that God will create a new heaven and earth to replace the Garden of Eden? I know we all have difficulty and challenges in life. Every day we live our life, we have those same difficulties. But today's scripture reminds us that knowing God is a loving and faithful God. God is the one who saved us in the beginning, who initiated this plan of salvation. God is the one who always promised, whatever God's promise, he will fulfill. Knowing that God is a loving and faithful God means that we can face our difficulty with confidence and with trust. We don't need to worry because God have shown us from time after time after time that he is faithful and trustworthy. There is a lady called Helen Lemuel, who was born into nobility. He was born noble heritage with a lot of wealth. Helen Lemuel eventually became blind. The husband she married to don't want to have a blind wife. So He divorced her, and Lemuel continued to live with blindness, and her wealth became less and less and less. Towards her in the mid-90s, she actually became like on welfare, living in the state. But Helen Lemuel wrote a lot of beautiful Christian hymns. And one of these hymns, I'm sure you have sung before, and it's called Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This is Lamel's hope. This is Lamel's song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, even though she is blind. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Also, knowing God's restoration and salvation plan, and knowing that he has commissioned us to proclaim the good news, I hope that we will all be faithful. You see, God commissioned us. He says, this is my plan. This is the good news for all people. And I want all of you, children of God, to proclaim it, to tell other people. And when we do that, God promised that he will come back soon. You know, throughout history, a lot of people kind of predict when Jesus will come back the second time, Jesus' second coming. If I tell you Jesus is going to come in 2020, I would be a false prophet, you know, because Jesus might come in 2020, or may not, maybe a couple years later, I don't know. But the clearest statement on the sign of Lord's return is recorded in Matthew 24. It says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You see, God promised Jesus will come back. The end date is when the gospel of the kingdom will preach to the whole world. You know what, folks? Today we live in an era that the gospel is able, all the infrastructure is there, all the plans and provisions is there for the gospel to be preached to the whole world. Today, through internet and cell phone, we can call to any part of the world within seconds. Today, we can physically go to any part of the world within days. We live in a time that the gospel can be proclaimed to the whole world. The fullness of the end times is very, very, very near. So it is our job to obey in obedience, to proclaim the gospel, sharing the good news to your neighbor, sharing the good news to your friends, family members. And then we can pray like the author of Revelation. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are always faithful. Every promise you made will be fulfilled. Many have been fulfilled in the past. Yet, Lord, we are waiting for what is another great promise, that you will come back. So as we are waiting, help us to be faithful in what you have entrusted us, to live a life to reflect your goodness and to proclaim the gospel. So give us strength, give us obedience to live our life to please you in accordance to your will. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.